Our scripture lesson for this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke. We're continuing in Luke. We're kind of moving through all these things that we don't visit necessarily. So I thought we should spend some time in Luke this year. Luke 12, verses 32 and following. Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. There ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and the hearing of it.
I have the children join me this morning.
Good morning, guys.
What is that?
Good morning.
It's a heart? Well, thank you.
It's a rainbow one.
It is a rainbow one. I see that. It's very, very nice look. So, have any of you guys ever seen one of these before? Do you know what this is?
A whale.
It is. It's a whale. And do you know what kind of whale it is? A blue one and a piggy bank. That's right. And if you guys came to Bible school, you made a piggy bank like this, or a whale bank, I guess. And
or a turtle.
Or there were turtles. I did see some of them as well. So yeah, you either made a whale or a turtle.
I just saw a turtle on the grass.
There was a turtle out on the grass?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
That was a long time.
Well,
I was still fishing and I saw a whale.
Oh yeah?
It was a blue one.
A blue one? Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. But how many of you guys are already filling your banks up with money at home? They made one at Bible school.
What? Boy made a whale.
He made a whale? And is he filling it up with money?
No, but I mean, I made a turtle.
I don't know if we need to argue about this here. We'll fight it out at home, right? So, in our scripture lesson today, we talked a little bit about storing up treasure. But Jesus told us that we don't need to store up treasures in whale banks like this one. He wants us to store up treasures in heaven. And he told us that one way we can do that is to give money to the poor. And can anybody think of some other ways that we might store up treasures in heaven? What else can we do? Like maybe taking care of someone who's sick? Or what else? No ideas? We can help the sick. We can give money to the poor. We can
buy food for them.
Buy food for them, exactly. Yep, we can do stuff like that. That's what the food pantry's doing this coming weekend. What else? We can buy them presents. That's very true. Absolutely.
Pants and maybe glasses.
We can buy them whatever it is that they need. And so that's how we're going to store up treasures in heaven like Jesus wants us to do. We don't need to store up treasure in piggy banks or whale banks or whatever it is you use to keep your money in. So let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you that you have given us a way to store up our treasures with you in heaven, Lord. And we pray that we can remember to do those things like helping the poor and giving them the things that they need and making them feel better. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. Good job. Good job, Brody. You know, I miss the space program. I don't know if you guys do, but I was one of those geeks. Used to sit in front of the television set, watching, listening to the countdown. 10, 9, 8. You know what I mean? Wasn't it exciting back then? I actually even remember the times when at the end of the countdown, sometimes the rocket would just fall over on its side and blow up in a ball of fire, but it got better, towards the end. But, you know, you get to the end, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, you'd be so excited. You get 3, 2, 1, you know, blast off. You know, we do a lot, it seems, of counting out loud in our culture. Have you ever thought about that? We do a lot of that. What about this one? If you don't listen to me by the time I count to 3, you're really going to get it. 1, 2, 2.5, 2 3/4. I never did that. I went straight to 3. Of course, you're not surprised if you know me very well. Did you ever play hide and go seek?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. It's a good game. The person, in case you haven't played it lately, you can talk to Ellie after the service, or I'll just refresh your memory. The person who is it closes their eyes and counts to 10 and then goes looking for everyone, you know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then what do we say? That's right. Ready or not, here I come. That's, you guys are good. Something like that is actually going on in our scripture lesson this morning. The master is off at a wedding banquet. His servants are at the family farm. Some are awake, ready for his return. Some are not ready. But the countdown has begun. No one knows exactly when the master will return. And at the end of this story, Jesus says, "You also must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." That was verse 40. Now, clearly, Jesus is talking about the second coming. And clearly, Jesus is speaking of his return at the end of the world. And clearly, he is saying that we must be ready to meet him when he returns in power. Now, we don't know when that's going to be. And we're called to wait with patience, to act with faithfulness, and to be good servants, because the countdown has begun. I heard a Christian comedian say one time, you know, Jesus is coming. Look busy. Now, we've been having some really serious thunderstorms lately. And it just occurred to me that as Christians, it's like we live between the lightning and the thunder. Now, the first coming of Christ was like the lightning. And then we wait, and then comes the thunder. And in a thunderstorm, when we're in one, you know, when we see the lightning, we know the thunder is coming. And sometimes we even count because we want to know how far away the storm is. And we know that how far from the lightning to the thunder is how far the storm is away. 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, our countdown has started. 1, 2, 3, 4. The second coming of Christ is just like that. We know it's coming. We just don't know when. So between the lightning and the thunder, we are called to live patiently, with hope, to act with faithfulness, and to be obedient to the Lord's teaching. The countdown has begun for the second coming, And non-Christians don't like to think about this either, but in addition, the countdown has begun for our death. At death, just like the second coming of Christ, we have to be ready to meet the Lord face to face. We don't know when we're going to die, some sooner, some later. But in the meantime, we are called to wait patiently with hope, to act faithfully and be obedient to the Lord's teaching in this in-between time. And in the in-between time, between the second coming of Christ and before we die, the servants of God are called to wait with faith. And that means that we believe what the Master said, and that we trust Him, and that we trust His Word, and that we value what His Word says. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 34. Now the world may live in fear because the people of the world don't know what's happening. But we, children of God, disciples of Christ, we have been told what is coming at the end of time, and even at the end of our time. And so we can be ready to meet Jesus with faith and with hope in our hearts. Jesus said, verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. In essence, Jesus is saying, ready or not, here I come. You know, death comes unexpectedly too, sometimes. There will come a time for all of us when we get the message saying that the time has come for us to die. Because in this life, none of us gets out alive. And we are called to be ready for that time by having faith and hope in our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. You know, a pastor wrote this story about one of his parishioners. He even gave his name. His name was Harry Anderson. He had terminal cancer, but he was a man of great faith, great hope, great expectation. And his pastor friend said, you know, I could tell he was ready because when we talk about Christ's death and resurrection and what that event means for us, Harry's always excited. Harry showed no fear, he said, since he believed the promises of God. And in addition, a sign of Harry's faith and hope was that he never lost his sense of humor. After the pastor visited him one day, Harry told the pastor a story of a man who was dying of cancer as he was. He was bedridden on the second floor of his house, but he could smell chocolate chip cookies baking downstairs. And he loved chocolate chip cookies. They were his favorite. And so he forced himself to get out of bed, and he made his way downstairs, halfway crawling down the stairs. And he was in such pain, but he just wanted some of those chocolate chip cookies. And he got in there and he made it into the kitchen and he reached up to get a chocolate chip cookie, and his wife appeared out of nowhere and slapped his hand. And he said, why did you do that? And she said, those cookies are for your funeral reception. Now, what we have to know is this Harry fellow, he laughed when he told that joke to his pastor. And then he said, you know, my wife would do something like that. Actually, there's more to the story that said she had something to say about that, but I digress. But, you know, Harry was ready to meet Jesus face to face. Some people aren't. Their hearts are set on the treasures of this world and not heaven. And they don't wait faithfully or patiently for the Lord with hope, with faith. And they don't even act faithfully in their lives, the living of their lives, with their eyes focused on the things of God and their lamps lit and ready for action. Now, when you're reading scripture always, it's good to check the context of the passage that you're reading, both the front side context and the back side context. And if you do that today in our reading, it really adds some meaning to what's going on here today. The front side of this reading today is about a rich but foolish farmer who believed in the possessions of this life as if they were the ultimate goal of life. And the backside of the context is about a servant who mistreated other servants because he didn't think he'd ever have to answer to the master. He thought the absent master was never coming back again. And the evil servant was acting like he was the master. And he was eating and drinking. He's like, the master's away. I can do whatever I want. And Jesus says the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him and an hour that he does not know, and he will put him with the unfaithful. You see, there is punishment for evil deeds. We will always reap what we sow. In other words, though, we are not just called to believe in the master. We are not just called to remember, yeah, I remember, I'm going to face him again at the end of time, or I'm going to face him again at the end of my time, whichever comes first. We are also called to act like we believe it. We're called to be dressed for action, to have our lamps lit. We are called to make our faith alive in a way that we live for God and live for others. Now, sometimes there is demonic intervention that seems like it just makes it almost impossible for us to put our faith into action. The enemy can be defeated, but not if we keep him in secret. Secrets make us sick. Secrets have to be revealed before anything can be done about them. The beginning of forgiveness is to bring secret sins out of hiding. Now, think about it this way. I actually need a volunteer from the congregation, from the church family. Somebody with a really good back. Neil, you have a good back? Come here, buddy. Come here, buddy. You look like Neil or Brian, one of the two of you. All the rest of us are old and decrepit. You know. Well, I'm just thinking about me. Okay. Secret sins. Okay, put this on there. Secret sins haunt us. Okay, turn around. Like we're carrying a bag of rocks on our back. Good for you? Okay, hold on to that for a while. All right. That's what secret sins are like. Bag of rocks tied to our back. Now, how tough would it be to walk around, to live carrying a bag of rocks to your back? Could you ride a motorcycle like that very well? Go around with real sharp curves? You try. No, that's not the sermon. Well, the sermon is to get rid of the bag of rocks. Keep up. But if we take these rocks, but if we take those rocks and we lay them at the feet of Jesus, well done, appreciate it. If we take those rocks and we lay them at the feet of Jesus, and then we ask him for the grace to not pick them up again, we are set free. And that bag of rocks is our guilt and our shame, those things that keep us up at night. Jesus died on the cross to take your bag of rocks from you. You can't carry those rocks. Look at Neil, how fit he is. He couldn't carry those rocks. He tried, he said. No, we don't want the rocks. That's our guilt and our shame, and we want to lay them at the feet of Jesus. You cannot carry bags of rocks and live your lives with joyful abandon. You cannot do it. Jesus can carry rocks. Your only job in life is to lay your rocks at the feet of Jesus and not pick them up again. That's your job in life. And that's what forgiveness of sins is like. And when you give your bag of rocks to the Lord, that's when you get a taste, a little taste of what heaven is going to be like. Now look in your Bible to page 1620. Chapter 12, verse 32. Okay, page 1620. All right, you got it yet? We have an old-fashioned sword drill. Okay, let's read that together. Chapter 12, verse 32. Okay, page 1620, verse 32. You got it? Okay, together. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. There is great comfort in that verse. Jesus told his followers that he would return. He told them to be ready for the end of time and for the end of our time. And he told us to be ready to see him face to face. Now, he doesn't ask us to be perfect. He asks us to wait with faith, with patience, with hope, and to act faithfully with obedience to what he has taught us. He asks us to love him and trust him. And he wants us to be ready. In the child's game of hide and seek, we have the countdown. There is also a countdown in life. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Everybody, ready or not, here I come. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we do not live our lives in hope and expectation. And we pray, Father, that as we live faithfully, as you give us the strength, the wisdom, the resolve to live faithfully, that, Father God, we would always have our eye on the eastern sky. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.